Well, we're thinking this Partnership Sunday about what it means to be a partner together. We thought a little bit about some of the challenges and the opportunities that lie before us as we look ahead under God over the coming years. So it's good for us to take a few moments to think about what partnership is about and how God's Word talks about partnership, about partnering together as a church family. And this is a great passage to go to as we do that. Because as we look at this short passage from the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 2, we have a snapshot of the life of the early church. After the Holy Spirit is given to the early church on the day of Pentecost, we have here a description of their life together. And I think it's a great description of the kind of Christian partnership we're encouraging for us to know and to be part of today as well. I think we've got three great descriptions of what partnership is here in this passage. And here's the first one. It is that partnership is devotion. That's really at the heart of what being a partner together as Christian believers is all about. And it's there for us in verse 42, this opening verse of the description we have in Acts chapter 2 here. Let me read it for you again. We're told they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. There's Luke, who wrote the book of Acts, his description of this early church, and he says that they are devoted. And the word he uses to describe them, this word that we're translated here in our English translation, devoted, carries with it the sense of being immovably stuck to something or to someone. I don't know if you've ever tried to fix something with super glue. You know, you've broken something, maybe you're looking after a precious ornament for someone and it's accidentally dropped off the shelf and broken in two, and you go to the shop and you get some super glue to stick it together. And if you've ever done that, you'll find on the super glue packets often a very stern warning that you use it correctly. Because if you don't, then you'll find that you've perhaps immovably stuck your own fingers together with super glue, and you'll find that quite painful and quite difficult to manage. It's the same kind of imagery that Luke wants us to see that describes this early church, and indeed describes what Christians should be. Not an accidental sticking together, but a deliberate choice. Luke says that this early church have chosen to attach themselves like glue, and attach themselves first and foremost in worship. That's what verse 42 is really describing. It's describing for us the worshiping life of the early Christian community. A community that are devoted to the Lord Jesus Christ and express that in devotion to the things that draw them closer to Him. To prayer. To God's Word via the apostles. To the breaking of bread, which is probably meals together, but certainly a description of enjoying and remembering in the Lord's Supper all that God has done for them. They're devoted, attached in worship. But they're not just devoted and attached in worship. They're also devoted to one another. Or rather, I think, their devotion to worship, devotion to the Lord Jesus Christ in worshiping Him and devoting their lives to Him, leads them to be devoted to one another. We see that in the use of the word fellowship there in verse 42. Luke says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, which is really just another word for partnership. It's having things in common. It's about joining together as a common interest, a common goal. But actually it's seen also later in verse 46. Look down with me at this description. It seems very commonplace on first reading. Verse 46, every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. What's very striking is that the words that Luke uses to describe their meeting together is exactly the same word that he uses in verse 42 that was translated devoted. You see, they were devoted not just to the things that they did together, the worshiping life together, but they were devoted to one another. They were attached not just in gathering together in a large group to sing God's praises, to pray together, to enjoy the Lord's Supper. They were devoted and attached to one another like glue. And I think that's a tremendous picture of what we're calling ourselves to do in partnership, that we're devoting ourselves to one another. It's very easy, isn't it, for us to start to think about church as consumers. What can I get out of this service this evening? I come along for what I want, but I'm not really willing to get more involved than that. The partnership among Christians is not as consumers, but as community, of being committed and devoted to one another, of being involved with one another's lives, to stick close to one another as if we had coated ourselves with superglue, and we are stuck to one another with all the joys and the sorrows and the struggles that come with that. But that's the picture of partnership that the New Testament gives us. It's partnership as devotion, but it's also partnership as generosity. You see, we can get a sense of how this partnership of the early church works out in practice as we look further in this passage. And look with me at verse 44. We're told that all the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. It's a fascinating description and practical outworking of what it means to be a fellowship, a partnership, of what it means to be committed and stuck with one another. And it's a curious thing to read, isn't it? It's possible to read this description as some kind of, communist utopia. Everyone had everything in common and they just shared everything. And actually, as it happens, socialists like Karl Marx actually appropriated the language that was used of early Christians in their ideas for what society should look like. But the reality is that these Christians lived in a world that is not that far removed from our own. And it's clear as we read the book of Acts that Christians of that day still owned houses. After all, they met in their houses. And they still owned property and possessions. But here's the thing. They were willing to give up that property and those possessions for the good of others. And my friends, that was just as revolutionary a thought then as it is for us today. You see, this passage helps us to see that what we're committing to one another in partnership, is committing to generosity. Later in the book of Acts, we're told that this early church, that no one claimed that their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. I don't know about you, but I find that very counter to the culture that we live in. And frankly, very counter to the natural path of my own thoughts and my own desires. We live in a culture, don't we, that says life consists of the abundance of our possessions. It's what drives advertising. It's what drives our consumer culture. Whoever has the most toys wins, or so quotes Malcolm Forbes of Forbes magazine. But we are committing to be partners as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, and those who know that actually life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. That what we have, and we may have much, is a gift from God. And it is to be used for his glory and to build up his kingdom. And that means that Christian partnership involves a generous giving up of what we have so that others may benefit. I don't know about you, but this is where partnership gets painful. Oh, it's very easy to get a form and to fill in my details. I can more or less remember my name and my email address and my telephone number. And I can tick things on a form. But it's much harder to express that partnership in giving of what I think of as mine. To go without something so that I might give something away. And that giving comes in lots of different forms, doesn't it? These early Christians gave not only of their wealth, but also of their warmth. They opened not only their wallets, but also their homes. They showed a practice of Christian hospitality, of meeting in homes, of sharing food and drink, of letting others share in the whole of their lives, which also included sharing their bank balances, of giving sacrificially of the things that they own and the money that they have. But you notice they were doing it not because someone was ordering them to do so. There wasn't someone looking over their shoulder saying, "This is what you must do." It was a generosity that is free and not forced, but a generosity that they were willing and happy to be involved in, to give of what they have, because, and here is the key point, because they knew they belonged to one another. See, this is what's going to get me over that pain threshold of opening up my wallet or filling in the standing order form. It is because I belong to this church. I belong to this community. A church who are partners in devotion will also and inevitably be partners in generosity. So we would love this partnership Sunday not just to be an exercise in box ticking, not just to be a filling in of a form, but an expression of our devotion and indeed our generosity to one another. And it may well be that you've never really stopped to think about this question of giving, of generosity. You've wanted to grow in your Christian faith. You've wanted to learn more. You've wanted to get stuck into the Bible. But you've left the question of giving on the shelf. You thought to yourself, well, that's something I'll get to eventually. That's an area of Christian discipleship that can wait. It's very telling that this early church were described as having the Lord adding to their number daily those who are being saved. They didn't have time to wait to be a mature, stable Christian community before they got to grips with Christian giving. It started from day one. So can I encourage you to think this through for yourself? I think it's very interesting that here in verse 45, we're told that the money that was donated was to give to anyone who had need. More literally, that sort of reads that money was distributed to all just as each had need. And that carries with it a sense of fairness, of knowing where the needs are and being careful to meet them well. It goes hand in hand with a later verse in Acts chapter 11, verse 29, where we're told that those early disciples provided financial help as each one was able. Just as each had need, just as each was able. It is a picture of planned and thoughtful and deliberate giving. And I think that's a pattern that we ought to emulate. It's why we want to think carefully about the years ahead, why we want to think strategically about the opportunities that God has given us, and to see where God is leading and to be good stewards of the resources that we have. Some of those things will inevitably involve increased giving if we are to take hold of them. And indeed, some of the things that we're currently doing will need increased giving in order to keep doing them. And it's another reason why we encourage those who are partners to think carefully about planned and regular giving. For starters, it allows us to think and to plan well. It helps us to be careful about budgets and spending so that we know what is coming in and we can be good stewards of the resources that God has given. But the other thing is that planned giving, regular giving, helps us to make regular habits. That if generosity is part of what it means to be a follower of Christ, of what it means to be a partner, then it helps us to have those structures in place. And that can be enormously helpful when giving is painful. When it's difficult for us to think of what we have as God's and not ours. But above all, I think that regular giving, of thinking it through prayerfully and then putting together something like a standing order, gives us an excitement about being part of God's work over and above my own comforts. So I encourage you, if this is the first time you thought about giving, to think it through, to pray about it, and to put something in place. Maybe you're a student and you feel your pockets are pretty thin. You have very little in bank, but habits are good to start now. Whatever you may be able to give, and then perhaps a little bit more than we think we're able, because it's good to be sacrificial, and it's good to be generous. What is partnership? Partnership is devotion. It's sticking to one another, and it's generosity. But there's a final picture of partnership here, which I think we need to include. Because as I said before, generosity is often when partnership gets painful, and you might expect, therefore, the end result to be a church and a Christian community that is full of bitterness and resentment. Why is God asking me to put my hands in my pockets and in my wallet and to give in this way? But that is not the picture that we get here. Rather, we have the picture of partnership as joy. Look with me again at verse 46. We're told there that every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. Now, that word glad is a pretty good translation for the word that Luke uses, but it's not an exciting word, is it? It's a little bit of a weak word, it seems, a lot of the time. It's a little bit like nice or fine. You know, you ask someone, and they say, how are you? And you say, I'm fine. It's just kind of, yeah, it's okay. The trouble is that glad has that sort of sense. It's kind of, nah, it's okay. But it's not the word that Luke uses. That word does not have that sense of, nah, it's okay. It's much more powerful than that. You see, the word that Luke uses has a sense of joyful exuberance, of overflowing excitement. And indeed, as one commentary that I read put it, an expectation of bodily motion. That means they were dancing for joy at being partners. It made them physically move, the excitement of being joined together and committed to one another. I wonder, did you dance for joy on your way to church this evening? Did you dance a jig as you came down the road? That would look very strange on the number 18 bus, wouldn't it? Did the idea of meeting with fellow Christians, of being committed to them, move you so much that you simply could not stop showing your excitement? Did the idea of partnership Sunday move you with joy throughout the day? Did you mark it in your diary? Did you look forward and think, partnership Sunday is coming? Hallelujah! I suspect not. And not just because we might be, like myself, a little bit reserved and the idea of bodily emotions in church just sort of freaks you out slightly. But it ought to. It ought to excite us. We ought to be filled with joy with the idea of being partners with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Notice this early church, we're told, we're enjoying the favor of all the people. Now, if we read on, we find that that does not mean that everything went well for them. Just a chapter or so beyond, the key leaders of the church are put in jail. But what it does mean is that the lifestyle and the joy of those early Christians were evident to all around them. They didn't hide it. They could not hide the excitement of being committed to Christ and therefore committed to one another. Maybe you're here this evening because you're a visitor here. You're looking into Christian things. And one of the reasons you're doing that is because you've noticed something different about your Christian friends. Maybe you don't understand it. Maybe you think they're a little bit odd for coming to church on a Sunday when you could be doing something more relaxing. But you're intrigued. You've seen something in them that makes you think, what is going on there? Well, if that is you, do come tomorrow evening to Christianity Explored. We'd love you to find out more. But if you're a regular here at All Souls, we would love you to commit to being a partner. Not because we want to get your email address so we can send you things, or because we like filling in forms and ticking boxes. We want you to commit to being a partner because this is an expression of joy and devotion and generosity in the Lord. Those early Christians, verse 46 tells us, had not only glad, but also sincere hearts. And that sincerity isn't seriousness, a sort of dour, gloomy face, but is a humble simplicity, a single-minded commitment to God and to his people. And that is what we pray for our partnership. And it will only happen if God is at work and God is transforming us so that we see partnership as devotion, as generosity, and as joy. So in a few moments, we're going to take a moment or two to fill in those partnership forms. But before we do that, let's take a few moments of quiet to think of the ways in which God is calling us to be excited about being partners with one another, of ways in which he wants to awaken in us that joy and devotion and in generosity. So let's just take a few moments of quiet to reflect on what we've heard.